You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I think they are in town this week, if I'm not mistaken, at Grinders. Is it this weekend?
Toad is coming.
I have not seen them in... Are you going? I have not seen them in 30 years. Neither has anybody else.
Well, no. I saw them the last time they were here. And it was also Grinders. August 2nd. It is this Saturday night. I'm not saying we're not going. I'm just not sure yet. And part of it, I'm going to be honest, part of it has to do with the weather.
It's going to be nice and
cool. No, it's going to be nice. It's going to be 77 on Saturday.
Okay.
So do I make three concerts in 1 week?
I mean, who are you? What? How was Shinedown last night?
Oh, my God. They were so good. Opening set. Here's a quick review if you were there. There were like 12,000 people there last night. It was a good crowd. They played most of the hits. Opening first five songs, the guitar was a little too loud.
Okay.
Then they got that figured out. Everything was great after that. Sounded right off the record. Here's the one thing I could have done without. And the guitarist, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does. Seemed to take on more of a role last night.
Really?
Interacting with the crowd, which he'd never done before. Usually Brent Smith, the lead singer, is the guy who... And he's a master. He is a master at crowd control. But for whatever reason, the guitarist last night was talking a little more than I would prefer.
Okay.
And then they did something that was completely unnecessary. They let him sing. He's got an okay voice. But he did a rendition of Purple Rain that did not need to happen.
So you're saying he needed to shut up and strum?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
And when he did the version of, you know, I could hear the strumming of Purple Rain. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to do Purple Rain? This is incredible. And then Brent Smith, the lead singer, just sat on the side of the stage and the guitarist sang the song. And
I'm like, no.
This is 3 minutes of my life I'm never getting back. But otherwise, it was a great show.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it.
They killed it.
I had something happen today that I want to pose to our listeners because we've all probably had this happen before.
And after you tell your story, we need to get into what's going on at your home.
Yeah, we're going to go over all that. Sam is a new homeowner. I want to know what he thinks about this and how you handle it because it gives me anxiety and I don't know why. About an hour ago, I am getting ready to leave the house. We are going to lock the door and my Ring doorbell camera bling goes bling. And we were waiting for some workers to arrive and I go, oh, they're here. So I opened the door expecting to see the people
workers
we've hired to be there.
Right.
And two guys are just standing there and they could tell that I was not expecting them. I go, oh, and they go, oh, well, hello. And immediately I know, I don't know why they're here. What's going on?
Yeah, what the heck are you doing at my front door?
I just said, what can I do for you? I am late to work. And one of them is on one of those little scooters that you lean into, the two little wheels.
The Segway?
Yep.
No way.
And they're kind of hemming and hawing around. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a door-to-door salesman. I'm not going to be able to get out of this. And one of them says...
And you just told him you were going to work.
How are you doing today? And I'm like, why is it that I feel like I've got to be so nice? And I go, I'm late to work. I go, what can I do for you? And he goes, well, we just spoke to your neighbor, Ben. You know, that's a common tactic.
That is a very classic door-to-door salesman
tactic. They want you
tactic,
to think
yes.
that I'm in tight with Ben next door. I said to him, I'm going to stop you right there. We just moved in. I don't even know what day it is. And he goes, well, you know, we're here and we're offering a promotion. And I go, I go, you know what, buddy? I go, give me a month. I am late to work. I go, and he looks in and he goes, well, I can see you got some spider webs in there.
Oh!
Yes, he did!
Oh, no,
yes, he did not! And I go, buddy.
They looked in your house?
We just moved in. I go, you got to give me like a month. And he goes, okay, yeah, I get it. All right, I'll be back tonight. I am turning around.
No, I said a month.
As he says, I'll be back tonight. And I go, and then, Sam, mom voice came out. And I
go,
no. I go, buddy, I appreciate it. We just moved in. No. I said, we are nowhere near ready to start having, you know, monthly.
So they're aggressive.
Younger guy. And I'm sure he got some sales today in the neighborhood. And I come back inside And I said to Johnny, do we need a no soliciting sign on the door? Why is it when someone comes door to door, my anxiety just goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da because you know why? I feel bad saying no. They know that. And then they won't let it go.
Oh, see, you need to get rid of that. It's just like with tip fatigue. You should not feel bad typing 000 and hitting enter. In fact, you should look them square in the eye and acknowledge you suck, you didn't do anything for me, and you're not getting a tip.
Why do I struggle with this?
I put a no soliciting sign on the door and still get 1 to 2 per day. And if I'm home, I'll open the door and just point at the sign, and I won't say a word.
I just don't answer the door.
Okay, but you know what? And everyone has had that crappy job once. I mean, is there a worse thing than going door to door? You know the answer is no. It's 110 degrees out. And I feel like, you know, he's just trying to make his first sale. So I try to nicely say no. And then 15 minutes later, they're still standing there.
But let me ask you this. Back in the day, and by back in the day, I mean the 1950s and 60s, it was not uncommon for somebody to be a door-to-door salesman.
Vacuums.
I was just going to say that. People would go door-to-door and they would sell vacuums. They would sell
encyclopedias.
Encyclopedias, that's right. Now, it's a rather forgotten profession. But
Security systems, tree trimming.
The Kansas City Star used to come door-to-door from time to time. I can tell you that I have only bought one thing. I've bought it multiple times from somebody who has come to my door to sell me something.
Is it Girl Scout cookies?
It is.
Okay.
Because I can't tell an 8-year-old girl, I'm not buying your cookies.
You know, the Girl Scouts of America knows that.
Of course they do.
They know that there are those of us. Now, if they're outside of a store, I can walk right by and I don't think anything about it.
Because you know why? Because you're mailing it in.
Yeah, they're not looking up with you with those big blue eyes.
You got to go door to door. You got to.
Yeah.
And I have to go.
So tell me, knowing my heart, Sam, and knowing the way my brain is wired, what is a good way for me to say no in a Dana way where there's finality? Because what I did today was just, I made the problem worse.
I'm gonna come back
in a month. And he goes, all right, I'll be back tonight.
I'm going to give you a quote that you can use. Sam, you go ahead and answer that while I get this quote on YouTube.
Do you have another door that you can go out of to get to your car?
Yes.
Shut the door in their face, go out of the other door, get in your car.
No, that's a very non-Dana way of handling it.
Well, it's not confrontational.
Because every single thing I say, they have a comeback for. You know, well, I need to talk to so-and-so. Well, it looks like you're the one that wears the pants in the house. Like, I know what the comebacks are. My dad was in sales.
What did your dad sell?
Oh, everything.
Really?
Anything with an imprint on it for 30 years, 40
years.
And he
would go door to door?
No, he wasn't door to door, but he was an independent contractor. And it's always a young kid, and then I feel bad.
What kills me is they park in my driveway. Get your grimy tires off my driveway. You want to come up and knock on my door and grab my door handle to ask me questions about what you're selling, park in the dang street.
Can I also ask you, if you had to guess a percentage of sales that are made door to door, it has to be less than 1%. Nobody does it. No one falls for
it. It's definitely less than 10%.
If I needed an exterminator, I would call you, Scott, and I would go, who do you use for bugs?
And I would tell you it's my buddy Bill Richard up in Lansing.
That's just, you know, the art of the door-to-door
is gone.
Is gone.
Here's what you need to say.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
No. They were probably 25, 26. I'm like, oh, buddy.
Now, maybe it's my paranoia, and I don't want to add this paranoia to your plate, so maybe I shouldn't say this, but whatever. I wouldn't say I'm late for work.
Right. Now they know I'm not home.
You just told them that the house is about to be empty for a fixed number of hours.
You're right.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
And you're not lying.
I am too.
You are all stocked up on crazy.
Nice. Keep in mind, I don't know these people from Adam. I am never going to see them again.
And you just told them the house will be vacant in about 10 minutes.
I'm never going to see them again.
Yeah.
Mary Beth won't let me put a second no soliciting sign on the door.
Well,
you've already got one?
I've already got one. I want to put a second because people still knock. I mean, at least once or twice a day.
I feel bad. The first thing I said tonight, I go, we need a no soliciting sign. And he said, I'll go get one.
What about that one kid that always gets dropped off in your neighborhood who's selling Snickers and 100 grands?
Yeah.
Do you buy those?
Yeah. Kid selling candy for his school. I would absolutely.
Do you really believe they're selling it for their school?
I don't know, Scott. You think I can't say hi no to two perfect strangers that are trespassing on my property? You really think I'm going to say no to an 8-year-old?
Why did you answer the here?
Because I thought it was the workers. I flew that door open. I was so excited. Don't go, hey!
You clearly have a Ring doorbell. I hear it on your phone every day.
I looked through the window and I thought it was them.
Why
I go,
didn't you
here.
Look on your app?
I know.
Can record automated messages for your Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
Record the loudest fart in the world.
No, I'm not going to fart on them. And when the door-to-door salesman comes up. Have you
seen have to fart?
Have you
just
seen the
it.
Sign that says, "We're all out of this. We don't need this. We found Jesus already. Don't knock on my door." There's actually a sign that's out there online that's pretty funny. Well, it's a more, you know, tongue in cheek, no soliciting sign.
Tell them how you tell them how you just got foreclosed on and you're about to be homeless next week, and then start crying.
Okay.
Or don't answer the door.
You're right. I just need to not answer the door.
Stop answering the door.
You're right.
Why does anybody answer the door? If I knew you were coming over, then I would answer the door. If I said, Dana, Sam, come over. We're going to have a barbecue on Saturday afternoon. We're going to watch a baseball game on the TV. Come on over. And I said, come on over at about 2:00. And my door is knocked on at 2:05. I'm assuming that's either Dana or Sam.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to look outside to see if I see one of your cars out there. If I do, I answer the door. Please enter my home. But if my door gets knocked on at 6:30 at night while I'm watching Wheel of Fortune and I'm not anticipating anybody coming over, I will check Life 360 real fast and then I go G.I. Joe. Period. End of story.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
So this is interesting from the USA Today. They have put together a top 10 list of the top attractions in the world.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to give you one.
No, you don't even have to give me one because I think I know.
It's not in the top 10.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is London Bridge.
Okay.
Okay, so these are destinations.
The Parthenon or Pantheon.
Pantheon in Rome is not on the list.
Okay, well, it should be.
Okay. How do you know? You've never even been to Europe.
I just think it looks lovely.
It's really old, antiquated, and the doors are too big.
Stonehenge.
No, believe it or not, Stonehenge did not make the top 10.
What are they looking
at? And I have been to Stonehenge.
Like the Great Wall of China?
Great Wall of China is number 6.
Okay. Like
Eiffel Tower?
El Capitan?
Eiffel Tower is number 2.
Okay, there we go. Now you're cooking,
big
Sam.
Tourist Eiffel attractions. Tower. Great Pyramids of Giza.
Believe it or not, the Pyramids of Giza did not make top attractions.
Are the Pyramids of Giza different than just the pyramids?
No, those are the pyramids.
Well, there are more pyramids than just the ones in Giza.
There's the 3 or 4 that are the Pyramids of Giza.
Is there any spot in the United States?
No.
Okay. So the Alamo is out. I'm kidding.
Yeehaw!
Have you ever been to the Alamo?
No.
It's a long wait. It's kind of like Branson. Takes a long time to get in.
Not much going on.
But it's really not worth the trip.
The Colosseum.
No, believe it or not.
If it's not something like that, then I don't know, Scott.
The Vatican?
No. So number 10 is the Plaza de España in Seville, Spain.
That was going to be my next guess.
Seville, okay.
The Duomo Milano in Milan, Italy is number...
Oh my gosh, I should have kept guessing. I would have gotten all these.
Is okay. Number 9. The Grand Mosque in Abu Dhabi is number 8. Here's one I did not see coming, and I've been there. The Anne Frank House in Amsterdam is number 7.
Okay.
The Great Wall of China is number 6. Angkor Wat in Cambodia. I don't even know what that is.
What?
The Angkor Wat.
Okay.
In Cambodia is number 5. I'm going to have to look that up. The Louvre in Paris is number 4.
Okay.
The NASA Space Center in... Oh, I lied. There is one in the United States. I beg your pardon.
The NASA Space Center
is number 3.
See, I don't consider that a wonder of the world.
Well, neither is the Eiffel Tower. It's number 2.
Okay.
And then number 1 is the Basilica de la Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, Spain. And how was my Spanish, Sam? Thank you very much.
Awful.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. All right, here we go. Top 10 attractions in the United States. NASA Space Center is number one.
Really?
Well, yeah, it was the only one that made the list for the world.
Okay, the Redwoods have to be on there somewhere.
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Nope.
Then I've got nothing because Niagara that's Falls? The most stunning thing I've ever seen in my life.
Of all the places to go in the United States, you're giving up after Redwoods?
I mean, don't tell me it's something like Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore did not make the list.
Yeah, no. Niagara Falls?
Did not make the list. Where was I recently?
California.
More specific?
San Francisco?
More specific?
The bridge?
Alcatraz?
Alcatraz, number 10.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with that, by the way.
Well, something in New York, like the Statue of Liberty or something. Ellis Island?
There are a number of New York places, but Ellis Island is not one of them.
I got nothing, Scott. Okay. I don't.
Alcatraz is number 10.
Times Square.
The Met in New York is number 9.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The Grand Canyon.
Stop talking. Both of you. I need you both to stop talking. You're making my head hurt.
Okay.
Number 8 is the National Museum of World War II Aviation in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Wow.
Number 7 is the Brooklyn Bridge. Number 6 is the Pennekamp Coral Reef Park in Key Largo, Florida. Number 5 is the Stetson Mansion in DeLand, Florida. Never heard of it.
The Stetson, where they make hats?
Presumably. Number 4, Central Park.
Okay.
Number 3, Sun Studio in Memphis. Number 2, the Empire State Building.
Yeah. Okay.
The Empire State Building is fascinating.
I was going to guess the Willis Tower, but go ahead.
And number 1 is the NASA Kennedy Space Center.
All right. I do not agree with
that
almost
sucks.
Anything. Oh, no!
Where's Moab?
Sam, I'm with you.
Let's go look at a bridge, except for the beautiful things that we have.
What do people sound like?
That, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Look at that. Cars drive across it.
By the way, when is the, I was going to read this story about fire up the AC, blistering temperatures across the United States again today. Where is this cold front we're supposed to get?
It is moving in tonight.
I don't know that I believe you, Sam. And I'm going to be honest, I actually think I had heat illness yesterday.
I guarantee you did.
Not heat stroke.
You had heat exhaustion.
I felt sick all day. Yeah. I had the chills all day. Sluggish, confused. I get home.
Loopy.
We were all supposed to go to the Royals game last night. And I said to our boss, I said to Johnny, I go, the thought of going outside, I can't. I don't think I can go back outside. I got home, laid down on the couch, and fell asleep. What time did the Royals game start?
6:40.
I don't remember the first inning of the Royals game.
Really?
I was asleep on the couch by 7, took a couple of Advil, hydrated all night, and today I feel fine. I do not know how people are handling this who work outside all day. I don't know. You know who I saw today? 2 mowers. Like 25-year-old kids on the, now they were on the stand-up mowers, wearing long-sleeve shirts and jeans. I thought, how is everyone not just going straight to the ER?
Well, and keep in mind, today the temperature is like 85. Yesterday, it was, I get in the car.
It's the compounding of the day after day after day that scares me.
It was 95 degrees when I got in the damn car yesterday.
Gotta hydrate. It's currently 83. It's only going to go down from here. And tomorrow, the high is 77. Oh. Rain is supposed to move in. There's a slight chance about 7, but really 9 o'clock tonight.
I'm telling you, if you work outside, my hats are off to you. Because
hats need to be on.
Well, hats actually do need to be on.
It's good for shade.
Hats on to you.
One more day. Hang on, people. Hang on.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So I think the tsunami threat is minimized for the western coast of the United States, but it was 8.8 underwater off the eastern coast of Russia. It was the 6th largest earthquake ever recorded in human history.
Okay, so I understand the tsunami warning, but then if it was the 6th largest quake ever recorded, there just wasn't a tsunami? You said the wave height reached like, what, a couple feet?
So CNN went to their correspondent in Santa Monica or wherever it was, and he goes, There are small tsunami waves lapping up upon the shore here.
Tsunami waves don't lap.
And so I said to myself, if they're small waves, then they're just waves.
Yeah.
The waves that came ashore from the tsunami are smaller than the standard waves.
Yes.
In okay. Hawaii.
They I just saw the verdict is in the horrifically guilty dentist accused of slowly poisoning his wife.
I would take that live if they offer
it. Yeah, when they read the verdict, if they have it on CNN, we will go live.
Sam, do you have, can you get CNN or can we just do MSNBC?
You guys, this is the woman who went to the hospital and he's alleged to have gone into the hospital while she was in there and he was mixing her protein shakes.
Allegedly with cyanide. That is correct. Oh, and former Vice President Kamala Harris says she will not run for governor of California.
There's a lot of breaking news today.
Damn.
While we wait on that, we have another embezzlement allegation involving public funds, this time in Independence and the Mid-Continent Public Library.
Okay.
Listen to this, Sam, from our friends at Fox 4. This just broke. Former Mid-Continent Public Library employee has been fired and is under investigation for the alleged misuse of funds. The Independence Police Department is investigating a now former Mid-Continent Public Library employee for allegedly misusing public funds. The employee was fired 2 weeks ago after the IT department uncovered suspicious Amazon purchases, according to the library. This is going to be a woman. A source first contacted Fox 4 about this a week ago, claiming the situation was, quote, being swept under the rug, mm-hmm. alleging that the staff feared retaliation if anyone discovered they had spoken to the media. Apparently, the library employees were told they were instructed not to speak about this at all, quote, not even with their families.
Oh, simmer down, library.
Not even with their families.
Okay.
So someone calls Channel 4 and says, look, so-and-so has been canned using public funds for their own Amazon purchases, and we're being told not to talk about it. So the library responded today and said, look, we're working diligently with police.
We're not trying to hide anything.
But the source told Channel 4 that what is currently known publicly only scratches the surface, and the discrepancies date back as far as 2021.
Wow. That's a lot of Amazon purchases.
The total amount in question is believed to be in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Why wouldn't they want to go public with this? What's the big deal? We discovered that there was taxpayer money being abused and misused.
Leadership have released limited information in order to avoid impeding an active investigation.
Okay. All right.
This is what's curious. Listen to this last sentence. The Mid-Continent Public Library takes its fiduciary responsibility to its community very seriously, quote, and has a long history of sound financial stewardship with clean external audits every year. Okay?
Right.
How, pray tell, if this has been going on since 2021, have there been, quote, clean external audits every year?
Probably have not, or they were not as thorough as they want us to believe. Would be my guess.
They're doing a comprehensive review of their internal controls.
But why would you tell employees, don't even tell your family? What's the big deal? Somebody allegedly misused public money. Happens every day.
Happens all the time.
Well, they take their fiduciary responsibilities very seriously, and they don't want the information getting out.
I'm not saying they don't, but if we're talking tens of thousands of dollars in Amazon purchases.
Now, wait a minute. You just said they don't want the information getting out. Doesn't the information belong out? This is public money.
Well, I would agree with you.
Public has a right to know when their money is being abused.
Doesn't look good for the library with all this information getting out.
Don't you even tell your family. If someone said to you, "At something is going on at work, and you're not even allowed to go home and like tell your spouse," the first thing I'm doing is going home and telling my spouse.
Okay, so I'm going to let you both in on a little secret here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over the last 14 years that you and I have been together,
yeah.
And Sam, the last, 6 years you've been on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. There have been more times than I can dare to count where one of you has come to me and said, now listen, This isn't for air.
Yeah.
And this is, we're off the record.
Yeah.
Okay? If you don't think I don't tell Tasha when I get home, you're out of your mind.
Well, same for you. You don't think I tell Mary Beth?
I'm sure. I'm sure that there have been times I've said to Dana or I've said to you, Sam, okay, I got to tell you this. This is not for air and it is totally off the record. When I say that, I know that Johnny is going to hear that. I know that Mary Beth is going to hear that.
Right.
I just have to trust that Johnny and Mary Beth, once they hear it from the two of you, know to keep their pie holes shut.
If you said to me, I'm going to tell you something and you cannot even tell him, I would say, I'm going to stop you right there.
That's not going to happen.
I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Now, I would just say, I don't want to know.
Yeah. So every time you guys have ever told me your deepest, darkest secret, mm-hmm. there's always one other person that knows. And I'm just being honest.
That's why it's so funny the library told the clerks at the library, don't you tell anyone what Marge got her hand caught in the cookie jar.
So, and I want to also add that normally that conversation starts the second I walk in from the garage, and it starts with, you're not going to believe this
what Dana said.
You will not believe this S. It's about to come out of my mouth.
Is that why T looks at me so weird?
Yes. True story. Ozzy Osbourne, his funeral procession worked its way through the streets of Birmingham, Alabama earlier today with fans of Black Sabbath and Ozzy's solo career paying their respects to the front man as his hearse made its way through the streets of Birmingham in the southern United States, where he grew up and where his band was formed in 1968.
Right.
The hearse carrying Osbourne, who died last week at the age of 76, made its way down Broad Street, the city's major thoroughfare, to the Black Sabbath Bench. I did not know that existed, which was unveiled on the Broad Street Canal Bridge in 2019. Most people don't know. Birmingham, Alabama is home to a lot of canals.
Okay, would you stop? And by the way, I'm sorry, I'm not a global traveler like you are. And at the end of the show last night, Scott said that Ozzy Osbourne's, procession was going to go through Birmingham.
And
I looked
Alabama?
At him and I go, why is he in Alabama? And Scott hit the ground laughing. I've never been to Birmingham. Alabama or England, but when you say when you just say Birmingham, I'm sorry, my baseline is Alabama. It's like when you say Kansas City, my baseline is Missouri. If you say KCK, I know you're talking about KCK.
That is totally different.
What if I say Manhattan?
Well, right now you're talking about Kansas because that's where my son goes to school.
No, I was talking about the news from the other day in Manhattan.
Well, then I know that you're talking about New York. The baseline of Birmingham anywhere in these United States, I'm sorry, is Alabama.
But it happens to be one of the oldest
cities. Why are you raising your voice at me?
In history.
Because if you were just talking casually, like, where are you going this week? I'm going down to Birmingham. People would not even question, I'm sorry, could you be more specific? Are we talking Birmingham, Alabama, or the one over by where the queen lives? Or the king?
She's dead.
She's dead. You know.
Why are you getting so animated?
Sweet home, Birmingham.
Yes, that's right. By the way, it was very sweet. I am not one to say very kind things about Sharon Osbourne, but I will today. She was clearly emotionally drawn and was weeping, and his three kids were there.
They've been together for like 50 years.
43 years.
Yes.
Yep, that's right. And so she was clearly, and obviously and understandably, very sad.
So I saw a headline that I didn't even click on that said Ozzy Osbourne's family, quote, visibly shaken as they walk in procession. And I thought to myself, why is that a headline? They've just lost their father and her partner of 43 years.
Yeah.
What would you expect someone to be as they were walking in a procession to a funeral?
Of course.
Of course they're visibly. Family is visibly shaken. Well,
family cheering would be the
right. Right.
That would be
that
a headline.
Would be the headline. What? Family all smiles.
No, Sharon Osbourne. She looked very thin and very emotional, and you can understand why. I mean, she's just lost the love of her life. And again, I'm not a huge Sharon Osbourne fan, but today I Sam, do not do that while I'm in the middle of a sentence trying to be very serious.
Sorry.
In my ear, he goes, and her cash cow.
That is terrible.
Which is technically true, but
She has done fine in her own right.
Because of him. But anyway, so through the streets of Birmingham, England today, the procession occurred. Oh, it was really cool. I can't believe I said something about a funeral was cool. They had a very small marching band.
Yeah.
With some trumpets, trombones, a drummer boy. They were playing Iron Man on trumpet and trombone as they walked in front of the hearse.
That's pretty cool.
It was. It was really neat. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. By the way, and this is a true story, when he did that Back to the Beginning concert earlier this month with Black Sabbath, which would be his last appearance on stage, this is the last song he played. Aww. Mama, I'm Coming Home. A story here from the USA Today. Respiratory viruses like the flu and COVID-19 may be able to wake up dormant cancer cells.
Oh, God.
In patients who have a history of cancer, according to a new study. Researchers tested this hypothesis in mice that contain disseminated cancer cells, which are cells that have broken away from the primary tumor and spread to other organs where they remain dormant. They exposed the mice to COVID-19 and other flu viruses. In both cases, the infections triggered inflammation that awakened the dormant cells located in the lungs, according to the study published today in the journal Nature. Quoting here from James DeGregori at the University of Colorado Cancer Center, dormant cancer cells are like the embers left in an abandoned campfire.
Oh, yeah.
And respiratory viruses are like a strong wind that reignites the flame. That's great. A Massachusetts man, this is from ABC News, a Massachusetts man was sentenced to time served after more than 2 years in prison for attempting to open a United Airlines emergency exit door mid-flight.
Yeah, they love it when you do that.
Before trying to stab a flight attendant in the neck with a broken metal spoon. Francisco Torres, age 35, pleading guilty in May. He tried to open a door mid-flight.
Yep.
He got 2 years in jail time served.
He tried to stab someone with a broken spoon.
Better point. He was sentenced yesterday to time served after spending about 26 months in custody. His sentence included 5 years supervised release.
Okay.
All right. Good times. And this story from Science Daily. By the way, what is up with all the go walk stories in the news lately? That it cuts down on your chances of getting dementia.
Because we at large live a sedentary lifestyle. And
I know, but like
that's why we have so many medical problems.
But all this week and late last, it's like nonstop go for a walk stories coming out.
I said it earlier this week and I stand by it. I think in 100 years, society will look back at us and be like, those lazy slobs. I no wonder they died in their 70s.
See, I think it's going to be the exact opposite. I think we're going to be so conditioned. Well, we won't be around, but the future like generations are going to be so conditioned by technology that, I mean, it's not like the human species is getting thinner.
No, but it'll swing back. I really do think it'll swing back.
You do?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, back in the 1880s.
Yes. It was way before that, you wanted to be round. You wanted to be rotund.
Well, in the 1400s, 1500s,
it was a sign of wealth.
Yeah. But in the 1880s, for example, people didn't sit around and do nothing all day. They were very active. They died in their 60s or 50s.
Well, that's because of disease and no modern medicine.
Here's this story from Science Daily. Fast walking, even just 15 minutes a day. By the way, keep in mind, fast walking can dramatically reduce the risk of death, especially from heart disease, according to a large study involving nearly 80,000 low-income and predominantly Black Americans in the South. The findings not only affirm the well-known health benefits of walking,
but also highlight how pace matters and how fast walking offers a powerful, accessible tool for improving health across underserved communities. A brisk, define brisk.
Brisk walk.
A brisk 15-minute walk every day cuts your mortality risk by 20%, especially in low-income Black communities, making fast walking a simple yet life-extending habit. Regular walking is widely recognized for its significant benefits to overall health and well-being.
And it's better for your joints than running.
Huh. It boosts heart efficiency, manages cardiovascular risk factors, and is highly accessible.
It's all about stressing your body in a controlled environment so it can handle other stressors more easily.
All right, we got the news coming up in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We will see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.